As your notice sheets have told you, today is Pentecost Sunday, the time in the Christian calendar when we remember the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all peoples in fulfilment of God's word through the prophet Joel. And when we think and talk about the Holy Spirit, I wonder what images come into your mind. Find on the screen here just some of the names that are given to him that we find in the Bible and other languages. As that stays up there on the screen, just take a few moments to discuss with the person next to you or in front of you, if there's nobody next to you or behind you or whatever, what you think of these and how you respond to them. If there's one particular one that you relate to more than others, or just take, we've only got 30 seconds, so you have to move quick on this. But just all these words you'll find in the Bible, all of them are words that are about the Holy Spirit. So just turn and don't normally have to encourage you too much to talk. So. Just for the purposes of the tape, the words that are up there are paraclete, comforter, spirit of God, spirit of Jesus, counselor, helper, advocate, friend, spirit of truth, interpreter, intercessor, teacher, remembrance, and ruach. Okay. Right, now then, you've all shared there. Has anybody got, we haven't got time for everybody to share, but anything that you feel that would be of benefit to the wider body? We've got a roving mic, so if you've got something that came up that struck you, just put your hand up and that you think would be good to share, something that maybe just struck you this morning in a different way. Yeah?
We were just discussing it like a freedom fighter and...
But
there's more.
Millie watched a film at school about it, and she didn't realise that people were still being killed for their religion.
Right.
And she was amazed by it.
Right, I see. Yep. Yeah. Anything else?
I was going to say, I'm probably loud enough without listening. Well, for me, I was trying to think which one do I... like or relate to more, and that was like comforter, spirit of truth, helper. And then I thought, well, it all depends on the, you know, what I'm going through in life. I think we can probably relate, everybody can relate to that. I think you all tap in different names depending on what you're going through in life. Sometimes it can be a friend or sometimes it can be spirit of truth. Depends what you're searching for in that particular time in your life.
Thank you Emma. Oh, one over there, Douglas, please.
Well, it seems a coincidence that this has come up today because I've just finished a book. You've read it and so has Clifford and quite a few of the ladies. And it's called I Dared to Call Him Father. And it's of a Pakistani lady and how she came to know and really did. It's an inspiration. I've got it here. I want to pass it on to somebody. But okay. It's funny that should come. Yeah. And so nearly all of those, you know, are in this book.
How she found him. You can see them at different times within the book.
Yes, how she did. Yes.
Come to faith.
A wonderful. So I'm going to pass it on.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Sheila. Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else?
The friend message sounds nice about... You know, a message for friends.
For friends.
Message.
Yeah. The word friend you find in the Message Bible translation. But sometimes in the Message Bible it calls the Holy Spirit friend on occasions. Yeah. But that's helpful, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. Thanks, Wilma. And also the Holy Spirit does sometimes give us messages for other people, so that's another aspect of it as well. Okay then, thank you. Now, I'd ask you to keep those thoughts in your mind as we turn to our scripture reading this morning and see how many of those names you find in the Bible reading. We're going to read from John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, and then we're going to turn into chapter 16 and begin to read at verse 4, the second part of verse 4 through to verse 15. Beginning to read in chapter 15 at verses 26, and then I'll tell you the other bit after. Okay? I'm reading from the New International Version. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me, this is Jesus who's speaking, from the beginning. And then we go to the second part of verse 4 in chapter 16. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, much more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Verse 13 there we read, when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So what is truth? Let's try and unpack that a little bit more. Each of you will have been given a piece of paper this morning, hopefully, as you came in through the door. And there are questions, one question on each piece of paper that you've been given. I don't want you to answer the question, particularly the one that is asked, does my bum look big in this? What I'm asking you to do is to discuss what's lying behind that. So find another person, look at your questions, the two questions together, and very quickly just kind of get out of it, tease out of it, what do we mean by truth? Okay? Right, again, we've got a roving mic. We haven't got time for everybody to share. And I hope you might continue these discussions afterwards over coffee and thinking about it. But has anybody got anything that you think would be helpful for the whole body to hear out of your discussions? And I'm not going to ask you all to put your hand up if you always tell the truth. Yeah, okay, we'll get the mic over. John first and then Miriam.
Yeah, I usually give back change. I've got something. You do always give back change if it's over. Well, when I get petrol from, or diesel from Tesco's, I try to get right on the pound. You know, £10, if I've got £10 of petrol, I get £10. It always goes over a penny. But if I was a penny over, then I'd keep it if I was at Tesco's. If I was Sainsbury's and Morrison's, maybe, I'd give it back. I don't know. Right. We'll see about that.
So, it's... Right, okay. Miriam, please, Douglas. Thank you.
Thank you. This one is, should you always tell the truth? Yes. And that can be a good one and also a tricky one at the same time, really.
Yeah. It's, like I said, we're not looking for answers, but it's tricky, isn't it?
It is a very tricky one. You have to be careful not to fall in the trap.
Yeah, over here with Sheila, please, Douglas. To do it for the tape.
Tell the truth.
Can you say it again, Sheila?
It came up in this book.
Right, about mine. Whether she tells the truth. This Pakistani lady.
Yes.
Whether she tells the truth.
Yes, because there's no such thing as a white lie.
That's,
it's still a lie.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think truth is very, very hard to define.
Fine.
Really.
That's right.
You know, I mean, you can say to somebody strange, well, I tell you the truth, but they don't. They're taking your word for it.
Exactly. Right. That's a good point, which we'll be thinking about. Yes. So, thanks, Sheila.
Yes.
Anything else? Anybody else got anything? Yep.
I just think it's a bit difficult if to tell the truth is going to be unkind and to put people down like mine says, would you lie to spare someone's feelings? You know, if somebody was really upset and said, oh, look, I'm such a mess, don't you? You wouldn't say, yes, you really do look a mess. would you? You'd just, no, I'm just a little... You know, that's the difficult one. You don't want to make people feel worse. But you've got to not let them...
It's really difficult, isn't it? You know, somebody's going to hell. Well, no, you don't say to you, well, you're going to hell. But on the other hand, you can't say, well, don't worry about it, can you, either? So... Yeah, it is difficult, isn't it? So that's all part and parcel of what we're thinking about. Thank you, Douglas. Nobody else got anything you desperately want to say? Right, okay then. So, like I say, I encourage you to continue talking about those over coffee because they're quite interesting, some of the things. I think one of them is, have you ever said that you liked a meal when it'd been really horrible? But again, the same thing, isn't it? So that you don't spare the person's feelings. And yet, if we are to be people of truth, then how can we, you know, this is a whole area. And what would Jesus do in that particular situation? Jesus frequently said, I tell you the truth. And not because he was defending himself. He didn't mean, well, I honestly mean this today. It wasn't like that. But because Jesus is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. One of the many I am sayings. And this one reveals that Jesus is truth. There is no deceit in him. And yet there are times when we find it hard to believe what he says. There are things that are written in the Bible. There is truth that's written in the Bible. There are things that Jesus says to us. And at times we find those hard to accept. Mainly because it runs contrary to our earthly human experiences. And yet Jesus is the truth. But many of us, like Eve, choose to believe a lie and to swap that for the truth. Do you remember the serpent said to Eve, you'll not die, you eat the apple, you won't die. God's just telling you that because he knows then you'll be like him and you'll know the difference between good and evil. The truth was that they did die. They died spiritually. They no longer had that intimate relationship with God because they were separated now by sin. And ultimately they died physically too because they no longer had access to the tree of life. But Eve had preferred to believe the lie because it benefited her. It offered something. And there are times in our lives when the world offers us something and we think, well, it's all right. Everybody else is doing it. That's okay. And yet, the truth says it's not all right. And we have this balance that we have to deal with. When we choose not to believe Jesus, then we too are in sin, because we've chosen to believe a lie that ultimately comes from the evil one. So how can this change for us? Well, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, because he is the one who convicts us of sin, who brings us back to the truth, and who empowers us day by day to live in the truth. Last night was Shavuot. I'm not absolutely certain on the pronunciation. It's the Festival of Weeks. It's a Jewish ceremony, and it began last night. Shavuot is the end of a 7-week period that the Jewish people call counting the Omer. It runs between Passover and Shavuot. That's the counting the Omer, which is a period of 50 days. And it was at this very time, almost 2,000 years ago, when the Jewish people were celebrating the festival of Shavuot in the temple, presenting the new grain offering that the Lord God poured out, the promised Ruach HaKodesh. I really need to learn some Hebrew here, but that means, that's Holy Spirit, of course, Ruach, Spirit, on the first believers. Now, most Christians today are more familiar with the Greek term for Shavuot, which is Pentecost, because Pentecost means 50th day. And furthermore, Shavuot, which also means oaths, is considered to be the time when God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. And this, the law that he gave him, was far more than just a simple set of instructions on two pieces of stone. God sealed his covenant at that time with his people. And we were thinking about covenant last week in our anniversary service, of how God covenants with us as we covenant with him. Some of God's covenants are conditional. If you do this, I will do that. And some of his covenants are unconditional. His covenant to love us is unconditional. He will always love us, whatever happens. So the law giving came just 7 weeks after Israel's exodus from Egypt and the miraculous crossing of the sea. Now, I don't know whether all those things have become jumbled in your mind, but actually you've got the Israelites being delivered out of Egypt, a period of 7 weeks, and then the law being given to Israel on Mount Sinai. You've got the resurrection of Jesus, a period of 7 weeks, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You've got Passover, the Jewish celebration of Passover, 50 days, 7 weeks plus 1 day. And then the festival of Shavuot. You've got Easter, 50 days, and Pentecost, Whit Sunday. And this year, those two celebrations coincide on the same day. So this morning, Jewish men, women and children will be listening to the Ten Commandments in synagogues, whilst Christians celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. I just found it absolutely amazing, the corresponding times and how it works together. Christians no longer live under the law, you see. That's the point. Christ died that we might be set free from living the law in rules and regulations. He became the perfect sacrifice so that through trust in him, we might be forgiven. Our sin would be dealt with. We would be restored in a right relationship with God. But at the same time, Jesus said that he had not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. So whilst we don't live under the law, we know that we're not saved by living the law. We don't get saved by fulfilling a set of regulations, coming to church every week, saying our prayers, reading the scriptures, going to Bible study, doing good works. We don't do those in order that we are saved. But because we are saved, those are the things that we do. And that's the difference, because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we get the freedom. The Holy Spirit brings the freedom. It's the possibility, because death has been vanquished. But, and this is the but, the conditional bit, we are to live in the truth in order that we receive that freedom. Because if we don't live in the truth, then we come back under the consequences of the law. So this creates big questions when we look at our lives and how we live day by day. Our language, the things that come out of our mouths and what we say and the way in which we say them. Our actions, the things that we do or don't do, as we thought about in our prayer earlier this morning. Our thoughts, the things that we'd be quite happy for people to see on the screen, and the things that we would much rather weren't up there on the screen. Our motives, what is the reason that we do things? Are we truly living in the truth of Christ's teaching? Shavuot is celebrated, as I say, by the new grain offering being presented, and the seed comes as the fruit dies. It was necessary for Jesus' death and ascension. It was as Jesus returned to heaven that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all believers. The Holy Spirit has been present since the beginning of, before creation. We find that in Genesis 1. The Spirit moved over the waters. But it was only when Jesus ascended into heaven to take his place at the right hand of the Father that the Holy Spirit was released upon all peoples, men and women and children. And it's as we die to ourselves that the Holy Spirit brings forth fruit in our lives by his inward transformation in the life of a believer. When God the Son was sacrificed, God the Father moved out of inanimate temples and into Christians in the vibrant person of God the Holy Spirit. Next week is Trinity Sunday, and that time traditionally when we remember that threefold Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God never intended the law to be something that was simply learnt. He always intended it to be lived out, and therefore in the living out people would be transformed. But you see, the law only affects our outward actions. It's the Holy Spirit who transforms our heart. And we need that heart surgery. All of us need it. Keeping the law is extremely difficult. It's practically impossible for ourselves. And so God sends his Holy Spirit to aid us, to be our advocate, to be our helper, to be our friend, in order that he can convict us when we go wrong and help us to change. He does the changing. It's not that we think, well, I should do this differently, but that automatically comes from these springs of living water which are within us. If we're always constantly doing things because, well, what will people think if I don't do this? Then we have to really question, Who actually is controlling my life? Is Jesus controlling my life, or am I controlling my life and I'm just trying to do it right? Because it's as we let go of ourselves and the Holy Spirit infills us and indwells us that he changes us from within, and it automatically pours out of us. We can't do any other because of his transforming power within us. If we rely on knowledge alone, well, this is what the word says and I've got to live by the word, then the result of that will be pride. Well, I keep the Ten Commandments, you know. And many of us, I'm sure, know people who will have said, well, I don't go to church, but I keep the Ten Commandments, and I'm a lot better than that lot that go down to Roman Road, you know. And they're probably right in some respects, that they probably do a lot more good works than some of us might do. And they probably don't say some of the things that some of us do. But at the end of the day, what is the heart condition? What is the relationship with God? And equally, what is our relationship with God? That's the thing. Because the whole point of the Holy Spirit being sent is that we too can be the people who will tell others about Jesus. And therefore, if that's not happening in our lives by the way that we live and the things that we say, and I don't mean by that going up to people and saying, do you know Jesus and you need to be saved? But by the actions that we do that shows and demonstrates God's love in us, if that's not happening, then we've got real problems. Each of us need the Spirit of God to lead us into all truth, that we may be enabled to keep God's word and to love as he commands. Yeshua, another word for Jesus in Hebrew, instructed his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the Ruach HaKodesh so that they could fulfill their destiny. When the day of Pentecost, or Shavuot, came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. That's our traditional piece of scripture that we have on Whit Sunday, Acts 2. We'll be having that this afternoon at the joint service. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They were infilled, and this week in the children's groups, we've been thinking about, we didn't look quite like that, we had teddies and dolls, but we were telling the same story, that they had little flames that came and sat on their heads, and there was this huge wind that blew through the room. But the point is, these disciples were transformed. Prior to that, they'd been frightened, they'd been in a room, they were locked away, they were scared. This happened, and Peter was out there talking, and thousands were converted. Thousands came to know the Lord as he spoke. Yesterday, Clifford and I attended a conference on becoming children of destiny, knowing God's calling, understanding God's vision, unity within the body of Christ, and entering into the fullness of our destiny through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And there are those who think that they manage very well without the Holy Spirit, thank you. God the Father, God the Son can cope with that. Holy Spirit, well, leave that for the Pentecostals down the road. But there is nothing that is further from the truth, because without the Holy Spirit we can do nothing. It's that simple. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, then we're working in our own strength. And all that we do, no matter how good it is, it will come to nothing. Unless the Lord is in the building, the workers build in vain. The Holy Spirit is not an optional extra. It's a necessary and essential part of all that God gave us to equip us for his calling. It was the Holy Spirit that transformed these frightened disciples into fearless apostles. And many of them were later killed for their faith, just as we heard earlier on. And people are still being killed for their faith today. In a wonderful prophetic fulfillment of Shavuot, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, descended in power, changed them from the inside, and empowered them to stand firm in one spirit to reach Israel and the nations with the gospel of Yeshua. We've talked a lot about sharing our faith. We've talked a lot about going out into the community. We've talked a lot about being trained and finding out the right way to do things. We've talked a lot about sharing and being the good news. But if we're trying to do anything of ourselves in our own strength, then we're wasting our time. William Barclay states, the early church was a spirit-guided community. And the early church, wonderful things were happening in it. So we ask ourselves this morning, are we a spirit-guided community? God has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. We're not here by accident, but we're here by design. God's plan for Failsworth includes Roman Road Independent Methodist Church, and that means you and me, because we're the church. It's not the building, it's the people. So what's God laying on your heart today? Helen led us earlier this morning in a time of reflection, a time of stillness. It's not always easy to listen. We can get so caught up in the busyness and the noise of everything that goes on round about us. What's God laying on your heart today? In the workplace, in college, in your family, in your neighbourhood, in the church, all are equally important. What God calls us to, he equips us for. Each of us have been given a holy calling to be a shining light in the midst of a dark and perverse generation. That's not the elders that have been given that, or the ministers, or the leaders, or the worship leaders, or the pastoral team, or the breakfast team, or any other team. That's all of us. All of us have been given that commission. And so, at this time, may our hearts be transformed as we receive a fresh infilling of Holy Spirit, who empowers us to fulfill our destinies, our calling, that which God has called us to. We've thought this morning about the Holy Spirit, who he is, his role of communicating with believers and empowering them to bear witness to the truth, and God's purposes for our lives. The information about the Jewish people was made available through the Bibles for Israel. Jesus told his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. May each one of us receive the Spirit's anointing and empowering as we seek to be obedient to God's word. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the stillness now and the quietness as we lay ourselves before you, we thank you for your gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that he comes to lead us into truth and to equip us to be a people of truth and to share that truth with others in what we say and how we live. Father God, this morning as we come before you, we ask for a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Move sovereignly, we ask, speaking into hearts and minds, confirming your truth, giving visions and pictures, bringing peace, stirring up desires to move out and to share the gospel in different ways. We don't want to do things in our own strength. We ask, Lord, that you would impart your Spirit to us, that we may be strengthened and equipped and enabled to do all that you call us to do. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.